that as prisoners they be told, come out, and as those in darkness, reveal yourselves. They will find food by the wayside, and in the desolate hills they will find pasture. Isaiah, that was chapter 49, verse 9, in the translation by Ward Green from 2003, that's yours truly, the Bible translation of that year, having been a partial translation of the Holy Scriptures, not the whole Bible, but certain selected chapters. And our study of the Ark of Urartu now will hopefully continue in chapter 5, paragraph 3. According to Stephen R. Covey, the sixth habit that highly effective people practice is synergy. Now, I've noticed that, you know, we have to be, according to some people, careful about following people who are teaching principles that don't originate from the Bible, but generally, everything originates from the Bible. You just have to figure out where the scripture is that relates to it. So synergy would apply to, or correlate well with the biblical principle about multitude of counselors. Synergy, in other words, putting together information from a multitude of counselors. So it is a scriptural teaching. Not that one is not great, but that are strongly valuing other people's contributions and their inherent differences. Inherent differences. Not inherit. Inherent differences. Valuing other people's contributions and their inherent differences from our contributions is so important that it merits a place among performance habits. In other words, looking for information from more than one source. That's a good habit. And Stephen R. Covey wrote a book on the habits of highly effective people. That's where that comes from. It is applicable to ancient history especially, since here a single viewpoint would be a scant account of all events. That's just another way of saying, look at all of the evidence. The city of Nekin, where the Narmer palette was discovered in Egypt by 1898 of our common era. Curiously, that date mirrors closely the date of the start of the rule of Sesostris II. Senusret II is also one of his names, the same name, whom we identified as Joseph, who ruled beginning about 1897 BCE, almost the exact mirror date of 1898 CE when the Nekin palette was discovered in our common era, whom we identified as Joseph, as we said, that was the pharaoh, Senusret II. We identified as Joseph, but he dated long before the discovery of the Narmer palette, and the Narmer palette dated to quite a long time before Joseph. But it's interesting that the dates were mirroring each other there. And that city of Nekin is situated on the latitude 25 degrees 5 minutes 50 degrees 50 seconds rather 25 degrees 5 minutes 50 seconds north, a location south of Uzengili, Turkey, by nearly 1,924 kilometers. Curiously, 1924 is the year my late wife was born, also in the Common Era, but this is the number of kilometers, or 1,195 miles. The difference of distance between the city of Nekin and the location of the Ark, Noah's Ark, lying presently, as it does, at 39.441206 degrees. Those interested in temporal and geographical calculations may be advised to purchase a calculator capable of dealing with degrees, minutes, seconds to facilitate the conversion or mixed use of numbers which are given either as decimal degrees or in the other form, degrees or hours, minutes, and seconds. So either degrees, minutes, and seconds, or hours, minutes, and seconds. It's called the sexagesimal system. The Babylonians used it, and they invented it, apparently, or it came, we got it from them, at least. And this is how we keep our time even today, from the Babylonian sexagesimal system. But you can convert between hours, minutes, and seconds into a decimal number, or degrees, minutes, and seconds into a decimal degrees. And I unfortunately don't have a calculator on my computer that can do that, so I can't show you that. My calculator doesn't do that here. At least I haven't seen how it can do it. Maybe it does it here. What's the second mean? Let's try it. Maybe it does. Wait a minute. 5 second. 6. No. I don't think so. I haven't figured out if it can do it or how it would do it. But my existing handheld calculator, my standalone calculator, can do that. And it's about a $15 calculator that, you know, Casio makes it. You can get these very cheaply. And they do all the scientific calculations just the same as this calculator that I just showed you here, that's a free calculator on my computer. I just haven't found one yet. All my software, I like it to be free on my Mac, so haven't found one yet for the Mac that will do the degrees, minutes, seconds for free. I can't even find one that I can purchase yet, but I don't think I did. But I'm not even looking at the ones you can purchase. Because once you start purchasing software, you're going to be into it for a large amount of money. But I don't find a problem, because there's lots of free software generally. But that particular feature, yet, you can calculate it, right? Okay, so I could say 2 degrees, you know, plus 35 minutes, which would be 35 divided by 60. Right? So I don't need a calculator that can do it. Plus, let's say, 12 seconds, 12 divided by 3600 would be the fraction that a second is of a degree, right? Because 60 times 60 is 3600. So if I did that, that should give me a decimal number, 2.58666, or 6 repeat. 2.586 repeat is exactly the number of decimal degrees, 2.59 degrees, essentially, that we can convert from 2 degrees, 35 minutes, 12 seconds. So you don't need a calculator that can do that, because you can do it manually like that. But some calculators have this facility, you can do it. It's very handy, because you can put in numbers like I'll show you in this paragraph coming up and do calculations. Division of time and space into increments because of degrees of, you know, degrees of latitude and longitude, of course. Space is also divided into 60s, not just time. Dated as third millennium BCE. Okay, I'm trying to see what we can see here. Okay, the division of time, yeah. The division of time in this way, like, I don't know about space, but time. Time, hours, minutes, and seconds, dates to the third millennium BCE, which is Sumerian, like, you know, it's old. It's as old as the ancient languages, right? The sexagesimal system. We don't have to adopt the dating that conventional scholars give to the Sumerians. They, you know, they say English is, maybe they're saying it's more than 3,000 years old, but we don't have to adopt that date, because they don't know how to date that. It's not accurate. They're just coming up with numbers out of thin air. They don't have accurate dates. So they're scholars who use their own beliefs to come up with dates. But since we're using the Bible, the deluge tells us that it can't be earlier than 3282, unless it was before the deluge. And even though that's actually possible, it could be before the deluge, but it could have been after the deluge, and they just don't have it dated correctly. But we have this, we're going to say it's dated to the third millennium, which is a very reasonable dating. And that means, you know, it's ancient, but third millennium could be the time of Nimrod and so on, right? Just after the Tower of Babel. We don't know when they came up with the written languages, precisely. We talked about the Tower of Babel, and maybe that was the origin of these ancient languages, but we don't really know when they began in all the details. We often use the term, what we call something, in some cases, a good approximation, right? A good approximation means it's not entirely accurate, but it's still going to work for us. But the Chinese, not just the Sumerian sexagesimal system, but the Chinese sexagenary calendar cycles are based on these division into increments of 60, like hours, minutes, seconds kind of thing. And in fact, degrees of latitude and longitude work exactly the same as hours, minutes, and seconds. It's exactly the same calculation. My calculator computes, now this is my handheld standalone calculator. It computes mixed sums, like, for example, this 39.441206 minus 25 degrees. You know, I shouldn't have to show you this. It's not going to be easy to see it. But, well, let's just say 39 point, well, I'll do it. Doesn't matter. Minus. Now you enter 25 degrees and then you punch this button which says A, B over C. Is that right? No, it's the degrees minute. You can do fractions on this calculator too. But it's degrees minute seconds. You hit that button and it just says 25 degrees. Then you hit the 5 and you hit the button again. It says 5 degrees and then you hit the button again. It says 50 degrees. I hit it twice. Sorry. You say 50 and then you hit the button. It says 25 degrees, 5 degrees. 50 degrees. You know, I don't know if you're going to be able to see it. My goal is not... There it is. Yeah. 25 degrees, 5 degrees, 50 degrees. That's what it looks like as a number, but it's really degrees, minutes, seconds. And if I say equal... It says 14.34. Where did I have it? What angle was it at? Oh, there it is, yeah. The answer, 14.34. 398378. There it is. Now if I press... I toggle it with this degrees, minutes, seconds, suddenly toggles to 14 degrees, 20 minutes, 38.34 seconds, right? My goal here is not to show you this, but it's standalone calculator can do that, okay? It's a very beautiful feature to have on a standalone calculator. This is a $15 Canadian, that's not a lot of money to spend on a calculator. So it's a good investment. I've got about three or four of those calculators because I keep buying them as they wear out, or, you know, they get one of the keys will wear out or something, or the battery might even die on it eventually. But they're solar as well as battery powered. So they last a very long time. As long as you have a little bit of light, you can use them forever if the buttons don't wear out. So, but I keep buying new ones, and the price goes up a little bit maybe, but they're basically at least as powerful in the more recent versions as they were in the old ones, older versions. The numbers given above are the actual latitudes. These are the latitudes in the locations of Noah's Ark in Uzengili, Turkey, and also Neken in Egypt. Those are latitudes, so that was a difference of 14.34. 14.34 degrees latitude. How do we adjust the rising of Sirius to Neken in Egypt? See, well, what if we want to know when does Sirius rise in Egypt and we don't have a calculator like PLSV, which can actually do that calculation? Well, if we don't want to get PLSV, which is a Windows program, Planetary, Lunar, and Stellar Visibility, it's free. If you don't want to get it, you can do the calculation anyway. For Wurr and Armor in Neckan at the time of the solar eclipse, Narmer's the king. If he was in Neckan, if he Wurr in Neckan, at the time of the solar eclipse of July 18th, 2774 BCE, a long time ago, Sirius was not rising exactly then, because we know the rising of Sirius is dependent upon the latitude, and that's the date it rose in Memphis, in Egypt, which is not the same as Neckan, not the same latitude. But it's okay, we know the difference in latitude between Neckan and Uzengili, right? Let's see. Neckan is, we said above here, the city of Neckan is 25 degrees, 5 minutes, 50 seconds latitude, north latitude. It's 50 degrees, 5 minutes, 50 seconds north latitude, Neckan. It's not that different from Thebes, actually. Pretty close to Thebes, but not exactly the same. If I recall, Thebes is around 25-something degrees latitude, but we want it to be exact, so we did it to find out, and then we can do the calculation that we show here from the Wikipedia article here, which I checked and saw the most recent version of this article hasn't changed much from what it was in 2010 when I wrote the article. And in the 2010 version, it says that because of the latitude difference, you know, if you'd been in the north when you observed the rising of Sothis, you would have found a date 20 years earlier, which would be the difference between 1537 and 1517. The difference being between the city of Memphis or Heliopolis and Thebes, with Thebes being in the south. And since they believe it was made in Thebes because the kings of the 18th dynasty, during which dynasty this calendar, the Ebers calendar, was obtained or found, right? It was from that dynasty. They believed that the measurement must have been made in Thebes, and therefore the date should be the lower date, 1517, for the time of the calendar, okay? Not everybody accepts that at all, but that's what the conventional, by some scholars, some of the conventional scholars accepted that as the way of obtaining the date of the rule of Amenhotep, who was the one who was ruling Egypt during the time of the Ebers calendar. Okay, so anyway, 1517 or 1537, a difference of 20 years between those two cities, and we know the difference in latitude between the two cities. They talk about the difference in latitude in that article, so we know it's just a difference that's proportional to the difference in latitude, so we took the number of degrees of latitude, right? In that case, it was 20 years difference for 4.14 degrees shift of latitude, right? So we just said, well, in this case, since we've got 20 degrees, I mean, we've got 14 degrees, but we had 20 years for 4.14 degrees, so that's 20 divided by 4.14 years per degree, right? If 20 years shift occurred for 4 degrees, it would be 5 degrees, or 5 years, I should say. If it's 20-year shift for 4 degrees, every 4 degrees it shifts 20, 20 divided by 4 is 5, so that's 5 years per degree, right? So 20 divided by 4.14 is the number of it's the number of years per degree of latitude, because it's 20 years divided by 4.14 degrees. So that's about 5, but it's not exactly 5, so we do it exactly in terms of years per degree, and then we multiply times the number of degrees, which is we calculated it above, 14.34, and we got a total number of years, right, because we had years per degree multiplied times the number of degrees, and that gives us years in the end. The total number of years shift it would be between Uzangili, which is a 14-degree shift in latitude. The number of years is going to be 69.29 years earlier for the solstice rising at the arc site than what it was at Neckan, because this difference was between Neckan, right? For the location where the Narmer pellet was found, it was 14 degrees different from the arc site. The arc site was north by this amount, and we know that the rising of the solstice is later. Which, why did I say earlier? It's not earlier. It's later. Is that right? Wait a minute. Yeah, it should be later. We know that the rising of Sothis, let me think, it's earlier or later? It's earlier, yeah. Well, like in, I'm trying to think, it's 15. Well, it's earlier in the month, too. Like, it's the time of year. Okay. I think I might have done that wrong. But it's okay, because it's not a problem. We didn't use this calculation, but I'm going to have to correct it if it's wrong. We didn't use it to do anything. Because we didn't delve into it any deeper at the time. If I had, I would have noticed the mistake, of course. But it's not a problem. But it's important that we understand. What am I looking for? Oh, yeah. So they're saying 1537. Yeah. They're saying if it was at Thebes, it was 1517. If it was north at Memphis, it's 1537. Earlier. I didn't do it wrong. So it's 1537 BCE is earlier than 1517. If it was at Memphis, it would have been 20 years earlier because it was further north. That's how the rising of Sothis works. It's not always intuitive, but that's the way it works. And you can make it intuitive if you work on it, if you study it. You can figure out why it's intuitive, but it doesn't seem intuitive at first. But, okay, so it was earlier in Memphis. They were saying 1537 in Memphis, right? And 1517, 20 years earlier in Memphis. So we go further north, it's going to be even earlier. So it would be 69 years earlier in Turkey. So 27, if it had been the difference between Thebes, or it's not that much different from Memphis, though. Because Memphis, Neckan is near Thebes, not near Memphis. So it would have been only 16 degrees difference or so if it had been from Memphis. So 2774, we would have had about 4 years, 16 divided by 4 would be about 4 times 14, 56 years earlier compared to Memphis. So 2774 plus 56, it would have been, well, 2800 and something. We didn't go into the details. But at the arc site, the rising of Sothis would have been 50 or so years earlier than it was in Memphis, Egypt. So they would have known about the rising of Sothis at the arc site. And then they would have had 50 years to travel south and eventually witness it in the south, right? That's an interesting thing. We could study that, but we didn't, because it's, you know, just not one of the things that we studied, because we had so many things we were busy studying at the time anyway. You know, we had lots of stuff to study. But the meaning is not yet clear as to what that means 69 years earlier, for the arc site compared to the site where the Narmer pellet was found, right? But didn't they say that Nimrod ruled for 69 years? That's right. They actually, I didn't notice that before. That they said that Nimrod ruled for 69 years. This is incredibly powerful proof of what it said in the Kitab al-Magal, that Nimrod ruled for 69 years. There's the proof. The rising of Sothis is 69 years different at the place where the Narmer pellet was found than where it was at the Ark site. I just thought of that now. Never thought of it. So we keep finding more incredible confirmations or possible proofs. They're incredible. They're so unlikely that they become almost 100% certain proof of our chronology, but they can't be, you would think. It's so old, ancient. It's so ancient, how can it be proven with any degree of certainty? But if we can find anything that seems impossible and yet does coincide, then it seems it becomes like almost certain proof. That's the way it appears, right? So we're it's very exciting that we just discovered this now. Okay, anyway, that's it for today's study. That's amazing. I didn't expect to discover that today. Didn't even expect to study it today, actually. But anyway, I wasn't even preparing the study. But when you study stuff and you've been working on it for a long time, you know, you continue to find new things. In fact, the more you've been studying it, the longer you've been studying it, the more possible new things you can discover. It keeps on, the harvest keeps getting greater and greater, right? The harvest is great, but the workers are few. It says in the Bible, Jesus said, therefore beg the master of the harvest, beg him to send out more workers into the harvest. And look at this. We have a picture from Masada, in Israel, which was the place of the last stand of the Jewish faithful, I guess you could say, the rebels of the Jewish people who rebelled against the Roman Empire. They took their last stand on Masada, and that occurred about 73 or 74, the battle at Masada. And Josephus was the famous Jewish historian, Flavius Josephus, was said to have been among the Jewish survivors there. And he tells a story there of how they all agreed to, each of them agreed to take the life of their neighbor and then take their own life. And he somehow survived that by not taking his own life. There's some story about that. They cast lots to determine how the order would be and what. And he somehow survived. If I recall the story, that's how I recall it. If it's correct, that's how the story goes, that Josephus somehow survived this. I'm not sure if I'm recalling correctly, or if it's even true, but that's the story that I recall. So there's a story about Masada, which is a very interesting but terrible, tragic story about how many people died on Masada. But the dating of that is important for our chronology because we know that there were these 77-year periods. I meant to click on this. 77-year period, 77 times 73 is 5621. 77 times 73. Okay. Right? 5621, and then what do we want to subtract? Let's subtract from that the date of Masada, 73, and add. Well, it would be about 4 years for the birth of Jesus at the end of BCE 6, because there's no year zero, so it's about 4 years to add, which is 77 again, right? So that's going to end up being 5544, right? From Adam until the time that was 70. Remember it said there would be there were 70 weeks determined, right? It said for the Jewish people. This is fascinating. They weren't determined from the time of Adam necessarily, but this is the 77 times 73, so we get to 5544. But the interesting thing about that is, we add 6 BCE, which is the date of Jesus' birth, and we get 5550. So we get the date of Adam as having occurred at a period of time exactly 77 times 73 years before Masada. That's the thing that's interesting about the date of Masada. Plus the fact that there were 69 weeks determined upon the Jewish people, right? And I want to work that out. What's 69 times 77? Not sure what that works out to. I'm just taking a leap of faith here. 69 times 77. 69 weeks. Right? Oh, yeah. Let's add the birth of Jesus to that. In 6 BCE. And what do we get? 53. Yeah, 53:19 is the birth of... Okay. Because if we take that, we add... The thing is, we do get the 69 weeks. We add 231, which is the age of... No, 931. What am I thinking? No, 231. We get 55:50. See, Adam was 231 years old when he begat Seth, his son. So the birth of Seth, basically, until the time of Jesus is 69 weeks, right? And then Jesus was cut off at the half of the week, which would be six. I need to start from this fresh calculation. 6 minus half, 77, divided by 2, equals what? 32 or 33. You see that? But, of course, you'd have to add 1 to that or subtract 1 because there's no year 0, you know. But it would be about the middle of the week he was crucified in 30 CE. But it's just approximate the half of the week in this case. We know that he was cut off also means the forming of a covenant, so the beginning of his ministry is also the half of the week. That was in 26 CE. But this is approximate because, you know, Jerusalem, the temple was destroyed in 70 CE, right? And it's none of it is precise when it comes to the week of 77 years. But 77, you know, minus the 70-year date of the Common Era when the temple was destroyed would be 7 CE. Isn't that... Is there something to do with... I'm trying to think... when was the census? I mean, there's more work to do on stuff like that. But you see how accurate that is? As it is, it's almost exactly right. But it, even using a week of 77 years, because a week just means 7 in Hebrew. So that's it for today's study. It's October 23rd, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 21:48 hours, North American Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you so much for listening and watching. I love you very much, and I'm Ward Green. And on my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie, saying bye for now. That was the Ark of Yerar to the Orient Express. Today's study, and it was paragraph 3 of chapter 5 that we studied today in the Ark of Urartu. It's coming along one day at a time, one day at a time.